Hey everyone, this is Sasha.
And Claire.
And this is
Dare to Rise.
Episode 4, The Inner Critic. So, we're going to start off this episode by a quote that we found and enjoyed and would like to share with you. And it goes, "Watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny." By Lao Tzu. So this quote really spoke to me because it really shows the power of your thoughts. Just how your thoughts really become the driving force of your life. Because your thoughts can and will talk you out of doing something good or bad.
If you let your inner critic direct you where to go, that's where you will end up.
Yeah.
If you let your inner critic tell you what to do, and it says not to do it, then you won't do it.
Yes.
And if you fight against your inner critic, and you push past the negative thoughts, then you can achieve much more.
Yes. Now, your thoughts can either ruin your day or give you the best day. And it's all really just a matter of perspective, which translates to your thoughts. You could wake up and have a really crappy morning. You could stub your toe. You could wake up late. You could... Everything and anything can happen that day. But if you wake up and then all of that happens, but then you just say, oh well, no big deal. And if you don't hold on to that in those instances, then despite everything that happens that day, you can still end up having a pretty good day. Again, it's all just a matter of your thoughts and your perspective.
Yeah, it's very easy to get into the, oh, I woke up late, I dropped a bunch of stuff, I had to clean it all up, I stubbed my toe, where... It could just be a blessing that you woke up.
Yeah.
You don't have to think about the other stuff. Just focus on the positive.
Mm-hmm. I got to thinking about this inner critic, this constant negative criticism that happens in our mind. And then, is there a purpose to this? Because I always want to get to the bottom of why I'm thinking the way I'm thinking or feeling the way that I'm thinking. Now, I realize that sometimes the inner critic is trying to protect you from perceived danger, perception of possible failure, right? Because when you start something, you don't know where it's going to end up. And automatically, our inner critic could think, oh, you're going to fail. Or another purpose that the inner critic has could be the fear of rejection. Maybe you put yourself out there, and what if you're not liked? So that's why your inner critic stops you from doing these things, stops you from going outside of what's familiar and comfortable.
Now, and one thing to remember is that failure isn't a negative. Mm-hmm. It's okay to fail. And also, not everyone's going to like you. I know mm-hmm. not everyone likes me, but that's okay because there are people that like me. And those are the people that I surround myself with.
Yes, true. Yeah. You can't please everybody, right?
No.
A situation in my life where my inner critic was very loud and really present and really trying to stop me from doing something was buying my condo. My inner critic was saying that I'm not ready to take on a mortgage. I still have student loans. What if something breaks? I'm so used to renting where I can just call my landlord and my landlord will fix it. So if something breaks, I'm the landlord. I have to fix it. I don't have the money. I'm still, like I said, I still have my student loans. My plan was to pay off my student loans first and then buy a house. And then I saw myself buying a house with my future husband. And then also my inner critic was saying, oh, you don't want to buy a house, you don't want to buy a mortgage because, oh, you want to live at another part of the country, you want to go overseas, you want to travel, you don't want to be tied down. But really, at the end of it, when all is said and done, I ended up purchasing my condo because the price was right, I got approved, and everything just fell into place for me buying it. So really, I had no reason to not buy it.
And I think it's also interesting, some of the things that you're saying almost sounds like you had a very specific plan and you were very afraid to deviate from that very specific plan. And the thing is, life happens and you can't always map out the rest of your life. You have to be willing to ebb and flow as life changes.
Yeah. And this was an opportunity that presented itself, and I couldn't say no.
And what happened?
Oh, man. I'm so afraid. I'm so glad that I ignored that inner critic, because I love my condo. I love the location. I feel settled for the first time in I don't know how long. I'm able to actually settle into my place, and I can actually customize my condo. I got to paint whatever color of the walls I wanted. I got to make some upgrades on my condo without anybody's approval. Before, when I was renting, you needed the landlord's approval for anything. My neighbors are great. I know a lot of them, and the location can't be beat. Oh my God.
It's right where you want to be.
Exactly. So, and then you know what? It turns out I can afford this mortgage. I'm still paying off my student loans. But at the end of the day, I'm actually paying less now than I was when I was renting. So when they would increase the rent every year.
Yep.
Now I'm on a 30-year fixed mortgage. So at least I know every year how much I would be paying.
Yep. The only thing you have to worry about is taxes.
Right.
That's the only increase that you'll have to worry about.
Yep, I love my condo. I'm able to afford it. Feel more settled. So then I got to thinking, like, why was my inner critic so loud? And what was it trying to protect me from? And at the end of the day, what it boils down to is that I was afraid of change. I was afraid of the unknown. I didn't want to move because I was comfortable where I was. I liked my neighbors in my old place. I knew the location in the area. You know, I didn't want to take on more debt. The moral of the story is that I recognize the purpose of that, my inner critic, and the reasons of why it exists and what it's protecting me from. And then you gotta ask yourself, I always ask myself, is this true? Is this a perceived fear? Is this helpful? Should I follow it? Should I ignore it? I chose to ignore it. I have to go all in, be comfortable with what is unknown, and be open. And I was open to my experience.
And I think that's really important that you didn't just completely ignore your inner critic. You actually faced it head on and found out the facts before making a decision.
Yeah.
And I think that it's really important to not always ignore your inner critic, because it's there for a reason. And like evolutionary, the reason why your body might react to something or someone or a situation and your thoughts, they're there for a reason. But at the same time, you have the ability to make a conscious decision. You don't have to give in just because it's hard and scary.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of things that are scary out there, a lot of decisions that you'd have to make that are scary, but most of the time those decisions end up being really, really good decisions that you make. And I had to make one of those decisions earlier this year with taking on a new role at my company. And it was a little bit challenging to make that decision because I was very comfortable in my existing job and I understood everything at its core, and I was very good at what I was doing.
Yeah.
And
it was comfortable.
It was very comfortable. And it's at the same company, so it's not like I am starting a brand new job somewhere else. However, I am starting a new role at the company. It's actually a completely new department, and there's a lot to learn. Transitioning, like, it's been a little bit challenging because when I first got the job, I didn't have a boss necessarily who was running the department that I'm in, and I was still kind of doing my old job, so I didn't really take on any new tasks. But now we have hired that new person to be my boss, mm-hmm. and that person is extremely smart and very nice. Don't get me wrong, they're an amazing person, but they're so smart that it's actually a little bit intimidating to me because I'm still learning a lot in my new role. I haven't quite hit the ground running mm-hmm. the way that I normally do when I start a job. And my inner critic is sitting here saying, you made a mistake.
Mm.
You messed up. You should have stayed with the old job. You were comfortable. You knew what to do. You knew everything, all the ins and outs of that job. Your new boss is going to see that you are stupid and you don't have any clue what's going on. And that terrifies me.
You were like a big fish in a little pond. Now you're a little
fish in a big pond.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that this person doesn't think that I'm stupid or anything, but I just feel that I'm not at the level that they expect me to be. And that's not because they necessarily expected me one way. I've been at the company longer than them because they just got hired. So I think he looks to me for direction sometimes, and I just don't quite have the knowledge I need to properly direct him. And because of that, it's making me feel like I'm not good enough, almost like I'm a fraud.
Oh.
And the thing is I know that I have different knowledge than he does. He's coming in with all this experience from his previous jobs, and he was brought in for a very specific reason, and he is doing a great job
mm-hmm.
at what he needs to do. However, I just need to work on learning my new job, my new role, and it's just a new experience for me. And because I was so comfortable, I was very much in my comfort zone, I did not want to leave it. And now that I'm actually leaving it and starting this new role that's kind of undefined, undetermined, it's really, really scary.
Yeah. It's undefined and undetermined?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
So it's kind of like I'm stepping into the unknown here.
Literally and figuratively.
And really what it is my new boss is going to have to figure out what he needs me to do, and I'm going to have to do it. But until he is fully onboarded and knows exactly what he needs to do and exactly what he needs from me, I'm kind of a little bit in limbo. And basically what I'm trying to do is just follow him around to all the meetings he's having for onboarding so that I can learn with him as he's learning everything, so that I can gain the experience so that I can best help him.
Yeah.
So I do have a bit of a plan, but still, even with following him around and learning the same things as him, I still feel like there's so much I don't know, because the way my company is structured and my previous job is very different than what I'm doing now. And it's so the way my company is structured is that there's a parent company that services child companies, and I mostly serviced one child company, and I basically left working with that child company for another child company.
Mm.
So it's like different rules, different information, different
team.
Products, different team, everything. So it's all very new. And even though I know a little bit, I just don't know as much as somebody who has been working at that with that particular child company for a long time.
But I mean, this is a promotion for you,
yes.
right? And you're taking on more roles and responsibilities, and I'm sure your company and the people who hired you vouched for you.
Yes.
So they saw something in you, and they
and that makes me feel even more pressure, because I feel like I need to do good for not just me, but I need to prove that they were right in trusting me with this new position.
But they saw that in you, and I don't think they would have vouched for you in that new position if you don't have it.
Yeah.
So there is that side of it too.
True. And I think even though I'm really nervous about it, it's not like I'm giving up. This was a decision I made. I could always ask for my old position back. I'm sure I could get it. But I'm not going to do that because I want to get out of my comfort zone. One of the reasons why I chose this was because I knew I was really comfortable. And I wanted to challenge myself to get out of my comfort zone, learn something new, experience something new, and that's why I did it.
And also, by doing that, you are being even more valuable to your company, because not only did you master your old role and your old department and all the standards and procedures there, you're going to master this one too. So
fingers crossed.
Yes, you will. Because you're a hard worker and they see that in you, and you are willing to challenge yourself. So so you're actually increasing your value within the company.
That's a good bravo way of looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, bravo to you for taking that leap and learning more and wanting more and doing more.
Yeah, so this inner critic, it's not over yet.
It will never go away, will it?
Well, for this particular item, it's not over yet. And I know that it's going to take some time before my inner critic quiets down. But really, when my inner critic is freaking out, what I need to do is just take a step back and remind myself, yes, I've been with the company for a long time, but this is a brand new position in a brand new department that didn't even exist before. So everybody in that department doesn't necessarily have an answer. They are just doing their best to figure out what's happening. And so my goal is to just try to catch my thoughts when they run down the negative train and redirect them to the positive train.
Positive train.
Train of thought.
Oh, wow. That was
smooth.
I'm going to ride that train.
And so I just need to remind myself that I am doing my best to learn and understand things so that I can do whatever tasks I need to do. And what I also need to remind myself is that even though my new boss is super, super smart, I know things he does not know.
Mm-hmm.
And just like he knows things that I don't know.
Right.
And so I will still bring something to the table. And it's just a matter of reminding myself that when my inner critic starts running the siren saying, hold up, mistake, this isn't right for you.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily that's not right for me. It's just I need to push past out of my comfort zone in order to grow professionally and personally. So one tactic that I think is interesting, and I thought about this, Claire, when you brought up the inner critic and controlling your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I used to do when back in college, this is when I learned about it, is you can learn how to control your dreams by figuring out when you're dreaming. And the way that you do that is you train yourself during the day while you're awake to check every so often to see if you're dreaming. So it could be like every half hour or so.
Yeah.
Or every hour, however often you want to do it. And you can do it by like pinching yourself, putting a hair tie around your wrist and snapping it to make sure that you're awake, because you can't actually hurt yourself in a dream. And what you do is, so you get in a habit of every half hour you do that, so that while you're sleeping, you remember to check if you're dreaming.
Oh my God. Whoa.
So if you apply that same thought process to the way that you think. If you remind yourself every half hour
mm-hmm.
to think something positive, just imagine the impact that would have on you.
Yeah. Throughout the day.
Exactly.
Throughout the week, throughout the month.
Yeah, if you do this in real life and you just find something to compliment yourself every half hour, every hour, and all of a sudden you're going to feel better and you're going to automatically train yourself to think those positive thoughts every half hour without even looking at the watch.
Wow, that would be very powerful and empowering to do, and also a good way to make sure that you're not riding that negative train.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it just gets away from you, and before you know it, it's just on this crazy track and there's no way to apply the brakes. It just spirals so far and so fast,
and it's so easy to go down that spiral. I know myself, I do it all the time. But if you can train yourself to catch yourself, then it will make a big difference. And I think this is a really good behavioral therapy way to do that, is to train yourself to think positively.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do this many different ways. You can say, like, every half hour I'm going to write down one positive thing about myself. Like, I love my lips. I think they're very beautiful. Or I made somebody smile today by giving them a compliment. Just something that reminds yourself that you are worthy, you are good, and you are deserving.
You can even show appreciation just for something in your environment. Like, it's springtime when we're recording this, and just even looking at a flower, like how like in bloom, how beautiful is that? Just enjoying, just checking in regularly with yourself and just enjoying this present moment too.
Yeah.
Is powerful in and of itself.
Yeah, and just showing gratitude too.
Mm.
Like,
yes.
As you're saying, like, gratitude for being able to see that flower.
Yeah.
And I think that goes a long way with compliments to yourself and showing gratitude. If you get doing that on a regular basis, that's going to completely change your perspective
yeah.
on things.
Our dare this week to our dear listeners is to start paying attention to your thinking and your thought patterns.
And your inner critic.
And your inner critic, yes. And identify one incident where your inner critic is surfacing.
Hit up all our socials in the description below and let us know, what did you think of this dare? How did it go? What did it teach you?
Yes.
And if you feel comfortable enough, share what your thought was, why you think it was surfacing, and what you determined if it was helpful or not.
Just remember, fear is a four-letter word that can stand for
forget everything and run, or face everything and rise.
We dare you to rise.